I'm always thankful to have opportunities to speak the word, especially in front of the congregation, because I feel like I can be an example of that. You don't have to be a current or former preacher to study the word and to deliver the message. But this was kind of special to me because whenever I was asked to do this, something different happened than what happened before I was at, or when I was asked in the past. What happened was, in the past, when Dad asked me to do a lesson, my mind would immediately say no, but I just overcame it and just said yes, because it's really, it was really uncomfortable for me, and it still kind of is, but I'm getting over it, you know? But I got to thinking about it, and even though that doing this, I believe, it gives God glory, and it's a really good work, I was wondering why my mind told me no. And so I was reminded, if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 6, so that exchange in my mind, I think this is what happened here, is Nehemiah, they're finishing up building the wall, and even though they're finishing up, their enemies are still trying anything that they can do to get them to stop or to get them to cease the work. And so it says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in the like manner the fifth time, with a letter open in his hand." And so when I saw this, I saw that they sent him multiple times. And so I kind of related that to the many excuses that my mind gave myself not to do things that are uncomfortable for me, especially concerning good works. And it kind of reminded me of a story of when a guy, he had been getting up at 5 o'clock a.m. every day to work out. And they even said that after he'd been doing it for years, his mind still made excuses not to get up, but he still had to overcome it. And so when I thought about doing God's will, I was wondering why my mind not wanted me to do the good work or not want to be uncomfortable. And so it reminded me of Galatians 5, verse 17. It says that the spirit and the flesh, that they're contrary to each other. And it's also said again in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, that fleshly lusts, they war against the soul. And so it's said that if the brain is not trained right, it'll constantly pursue stimulation and comfort. And that's why we have people that always want to be entertained. They always want to play. They want to stay in bed where it's comfortable. And they want to stay in their comfort zone, rather than getting out and doing things. And so God has not called us out of sin to be comfortable. As it said in Ephesians 2, verse 10, we're called to do good works. And so how do we combat this? I think this is stated in Nehemiah 6, verses 3 and 4. He says, "I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." And this reminds me of Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by Satan. He answered him three times the same way, "It is written." And so what can we take from this? It said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, it says, "But with many..." Oh, my fault. Where am I at? Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians. My fault. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, saying, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ." And so that the idea of bringing into captivity every thought is the idea of being led away as a prisoner of war. And that thought is literally exercises of the mind. And so what you're literally supposed to do is we're supposed to take the thoughts and lead it to the obedience of Christ. And so we're supposed to ask ourselves, is this lawful? Is this a good work? And will this bring God glory? And if yes, then we have to, then we must proceed regardless of personal feeling. And if not, if it's not lawful, we must withdraw regardless of personal feeling. And so, as it said in James chapter 1 verse 14, that every man is drawn away by their own lust and enticed. And so when we are tempted to do something contrary to the will of God, or tempted not to be fruitful, as seen in Matthew chapter 25 verse 30 of the unprofitable servant that was cast into utter darkness, we can remember God's law, which defeats the enemy of the flesh. And so this reminds me of how in sports, how people, or they have certain people that spend hours and hours and hours just watching film of their opponent, just so they can know their opponent, so they can defeat their opponent. And so in the same way, we know that what the flesh wants, and we know ourselves, and we can take time to know ourselves, so that when the times come where temptation to not do God's will comes, we know how to combat it, and we can defeat it. And so Galatians 5 verse 16 teaches us that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And to close, you turn to Romans chapter 7. Starting in verse 14, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that which I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I thank God that I do not have to serve the law of sin, but I can serve a greater, more spiritual, more fulfilling one, and that is the law of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1, which is right here, it says, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." But you can only walk after the Spirit and have no condemnation, only if you're in Christ. And how you do that? You do that by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your past sins, confessing Jesus, and then being baptized, and then going on to live a greater, more fulfilling purpose, and a greater purpose than fulfilling the lust of the flesh all the time. And so then you can walk in the Spirit is when you're in Christ. And so serving the flesh and not adhering to the law is only temporal, and it won't last you past this life or past eternity. It's no good after you are dead. And so if you are here today and you would like to respond, or you have only been obeying the law of the flesh and not adhering to the law, come as you stand and sing.